Hello everyone, and welcome to our devotional podcast, where we seek to encourage you with God's word, even as you find yourself separated from other believers due to social distancing and government restrictions. And so let's continue with our podcast. Today we're going to continue in the book of James, looking at James chapter 1 verses 13 to 18. And the specific topic that we are looking at today is temptation. I'm sure as you sit in your home or in your room, there are plenty of temptations that surround you that are all over. Watching the news earlier, I can tell you that many people are tempted to ignore the government regulation. Maybe and you have been tempted to be lazy. After all, who is counting the hours? Maybe you're a bit like me, and your kids are driving you crazy because they are jumping around making noise even as you try to record a podcast. Or maybe you and your spouse are rubbing each other the wrong way, and all this social coming to staying together for so long is making you very frustrated. Perhaps you're not struggling with other people. Perhaps you are sitting alone in your room or at home. You are tempted to sit and do things that you would not normally do because other people are around. Perhaps you are being tempted to even watch some pornography. In all these temptations that stand in our way as we sit right now, what should you do? But more to James's point, where does this temptation come from? James wastes no time in giving us an answer in verse 13a when he says, when tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me. You see, whatever you do in terms of being tempted, you cannot blame God for what you are going through. He is not the source of our temptation. He does not share in our guilt. This is the main point that James is trying to make in this particular passage. What the rest of the passage actually does is explain why James says this point. So firstly, your temptation does not come from God, but it actually comes from your evil desires. God, according to James, is not tempted by sin. He does not have the slightest moral depravity such that he will find sin tempting. So if God is like that, what makes you think that he will be the source of temptation? What makes you think that God and sin and temptation even come into the same sentence? That's what James's point is here. Instead, temptation does not come from God, but it comes from within you. James uses two illustrations here to help make his point. The first one is an illustration of someone who is fishing using bait. And the second one is, of course, childbirth. You see, when it comes to the fishing analogy, your desires, they work like bait on a hook for a fish. It entices you. You see that bait on the hook and it entices you. It looks good. The food is just sitting there waiting for you to eat it. All you have to do is come a little closer and take a bite. After all, it has so much promise of a full tummy. And so you come a little closer, you open your mouth, you bite, and bam! Just like that, you are hooked and you are led to your death. The other analogy James uses is one of childbirth. He says your desires that are in you, they conceive and deliver sin in your life. And that sin finds itself growing and growing. And then when you think and you're waiting expectantly for sin to deliver that thing which you hoped it would deliver, what happens? It gives birth to death. Your desires, they promise more than they can offer, or more than they can deliver. To some extent, we all know this so well, because we all have been disappointed at one point or another by our evil desires and things that we are tempted by. You remember that chocolate that you thought, if I have this chocolate, it will fill my stomach, only for it to make you sick. There are so many things that we get tempted by, but only leave us with many regrets. And many times we say to ourselves, not again. I am not going to give into temptation till temptation comes knocking at your door. And you do the very same thing. James says here in verse 16, don't be deceived, my brothers and sisters. You are looking at the wrong place to find life and to find what is good. You see, your evil desires, they promise that you will have the best life, you will have a good life, you will have all the things that you want, but it promises more than it can deliver. Rather than looking to your evil desires, look to God, for He is the giver of everything that is good. Verse 17 puts it this way. It says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights. This Father does not sin. He does not change like shifting shadows. See, God is the source of all that is good. Not only is He the source of all that is good, as we've learned from our previous passage, He is also a generous God who delights in giving us all those things that are good. That's why the passage says He gives us good gifts. And unlike the evil desires that rage in our hearts, He doesn't change like shifting shadows. He doesn't promise one thing, and then when you're about to get it, He changes His mind. See, that's what happens with a shadow. With a shadow, the closer you get to the shadow, the more it changes its shape, such that you can never quite capture the shadow at its true state. But God doesn't change. He keeps His promises, and He will give you all that is good, because all that is good comes from Him. Notice with me here in verse 18, the relationship between God, His Word, and His creation. And how different this relationship is between the one that we saw earlier about evil desires. We see evil desires in our hearts. What do they produce? They produce sin and death. They work together to destroy you. But God builds. He works to build you up. God has given us new life. In other words, He has given birth to us through the word of truth. In other words, we've been born again. And that word of truth, according to James, you see, it has made us first fruits of all the things that are to come. So as you sit there, you are a foretaste of what God is doing in this world. And when the time comes, your true light will shine brightly for everyone to see, because you will inherit eternal life. So as you sit home and your desires rage within you, do not be deceived, brothers and sisters. Don't exchange God for a cheap imitation that will lead you only to death. Let the word of God dwell in you richly. And as it dwells in you richly, it will produce good fruit. And that good fruit will lead to eternal life.